Thank you, Brother Stan. Great men of God, called from your mother's womb into His marvelous light. Somebody said, who is He? Jesus, who is the Christ. He has called us into His marvelous light. I chose this through the Holy Spirit a while back, and I just couldn't get it down on paper. And it's, you know, when you leave your cell phone on, you get picked sometime to be the speaker. And when we talk about peacemakers, who could ever did this? The FOP, Fraternal Order of Police, has offered up this meal, and many have hands of been involved, but back in the day we used to say the peacemaker was a gun. The cause, it was a weapon that we might not have to use, or the men of God or the police department or law enforcement officer would not have to use. Sometimes it happens. Today I talk about another kind of peace, the real peace that only God can give. A bishop asked me the other day, can you have peace in war? And after the war, can you have peace with your enemy? Well, you can have a peace treaty. You can sign a declaration. But you really, really don't get along with that enemy. Case in point, we got some situations going on in America and the enemy of the cross. And so now God has allowed us to come together and have a safe place and huddle, and we don't have to hold up our titles or who we are or what we are, but we can say we're Christian, called to do a work these last days. As we look in the text this afternoon, I'm talking about the peace that is promised to the believers. If you're not a believer, I pray that you become one. Because these promises that I'm going to talk to you about are promises that are afforded only to the believer. The gospel of Jesus Christ is preached to everyone, everywhere, hoping that they would come to know Jesus Christ for a pardon of their sin. You see, gentlemen, we all were made in the likeness and image of God. We were made to be Christian, made to be like God. The Bible says that with the stripes that Jesus bore on His back was for our healing, and with those stripes we are healed. In the text this afternoon, we find that we're going to look at the Beatitudes for just a moment. That's found in the 5th chapter of Matthew. Matthew 5 and verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I want to read some from the Bible. Is that all right? In this 5th chapter, it says that Jesus, seeing the multitudes, He went into a mountain. And when He was set, He began to teach His disciples. And He opened His mouth and He spoke with great authority. First time that someone was speaking from the authority of God outside of the prophets and the ministry that came before Jesus. And so as He stood out on the mount, as called the Sermon on the Mount, He begins to teach them the Beatitudes. He says in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. He's looking at our heart. He wants my heart to get right. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all evil against you for my name. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. He speaks to us in these scriptures. He deals with us concerning the beauty of knowing who God is. Now, I can't separate the Beatitudes and say one is greater than the other. There's just one beautiful, amen, subject that God gives us, and it's for all of us who become Christians. And this, I want you to, you might want to write this down. The first thing I need to do when I'm dealing with my children or dealing with people who don't know the Lord or teaching is that I need to tell them they need to seek first the kingdom of and its righteousness. And all the other things pertaining to life will be added to them. The wife, the right college, decisions that are favorable to you and for you, young person, old man that's being converted. All of these things are being set aside for us if we seek ye first the kingdom of God and all that is in him. If I do the first thing first. If I had done the first thing first, I probably wouldn't have been in all the trouble that I got myself into. If I realized that this Jesus, who is the Christ, is life eternal, I would probably be a little farther. That's what we all say. But aren't you glad, who are sitting in these chairs, that you met Jesus when you did? Amen. And if you are going through something, I'd rather go through it with Jesus than without him. Do I have an amen in here? Y'all help me here. I'm about to get happy all over again. There are some tough issues that are facing us. But in the midst of the issues, Jesus Christ is there. I often tell people that if you're in a storm, locate Jesus in the storm. The reason you locate Jesus in your storm is that Jesus does not move around very much in the storm. And if you can locate Jesus and embrace him, the storm will blow over. But you have to locate Jesus Christ, embrace him, because he is the giver of peace. Real men love the Lord. And real peace comes from him. For God so loved the world that he gave what? His only begotten son, that whosoever what? Would not what? But they would have what? I'm looking for some everlasting life and I got to go somewhere. Because we got to spend eternity in one or two places. What are those places? I'd rather go to heaven than hell. I'd rather be in the presence of the Lord than hell. And so as we begin to speak to our brothers and sisters in our community, as we begin to live the life before them, the assured thing is that he has become the light of the world to us. And because he has become the light of the world, now we could be a light to a lost and dying world. Why? Because Jesus Christ has come and took residence in our lives. Anybody been changed? Do I have a witness in here? Anybody being changed?
Amen.
Who changed you? Who made you over again? Jesus makes us over again. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I want to be a peacemaker. I want to offer peace. You see, when you become a peacemaker, you get between people sometime. And when you get between them, you can offer Jesus to both parties. Yeah, I hear what you say. I heard you too. Yeah, I hear what you say. I heard you too. But why? Have you considered Jesus? Have you considered Jesus Christ? Who is he? He's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning of it and the end. Acts 4 and 12 says, for there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. That name Jesus Christ. There was a young man a few years ago. Is this a Christian group? Is it all right to talk Christian concepts and precepts? A few years ago, there was a college student who was sitting outside of a Kroger's, and he heard a minister. The minister had a bow tie on. He was sharp down to his shoes. Some folks say he was casket sharp. And he stood on his soapbox and he began to preach and to teach the concepts in the Word. The young college student stood out in front of a Kroger's supermarket as he began to minister so eloquently the Word of God. He began to say, God made everything. He made all of humanity. He made every animal in the field. He made everything that flew in the sky. And the young college student stood there and he looked at the minister. And in his spirit he said, I want to know this God. But all of a sudden this well-dressed preacher who was standing on his soapbox said, I know that my God, Allah, who made everything, who sent the prophet Muhammad. Oh, Lord. So the young college student who had been raised in a Christian home where his father did not send him to church but took him to church, where his mother would fix pancakes on Sunday morning and she would come to the church later and usher at the back door. And the young college student whose father was a teacher of the word, the teenage boys there. And as the young college student began to rehearse the things in his mind, he realized and recognized this one thing. Muhammad's bones are still in the grave. That Jesus Christ is the only one who rose from the dead. Oh, that's good news. Hey! Make some noise in here. You can easily be sidetracked by somebody who speaks eloquently. Look at their life and see if their life is matching up with what the Bible says that they spoke with their lips, but their heart was where? Far from him. The second thing I would tell you to share with young people is to find them a father. Their father or somebody else's father or some pastor with a father's heart. Some coach. How many folk know that their coach helped them out? Am I the only one that the coach on the ball team helped them out? Find somebody that is a few years older than you and rooted and grounded in Christ. That can help you along the way. And let me share this with you. Don't forget them. I didn't forget Brother Jim Butcher. Our relationship spans 34 years. Now I'm a friend to his son. Make new friends. This is free. You can take this. Make new friends if you must, but keep the old ones you can trust. You can have that. I'll say it one more time. Make new friends if you must, but keep the old ones you can trust. Sometimes folks just got to have a friend, got to have a friend, got to have a friend. You need the one who will pour in you and minister to you and love you when they see you at your worst. We still talking about peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. He stands out on the mount and he ministers to the people the word of God that would give them life. We need life today. Amen. We need somebody to tell us the truth about life circumstances. Amen. We need to tell them that God is able to keep a marriage from falling. Uh-oh. We need to tell them that God is able to keep, amen, their children. We got children that are going all crazy sometimes. But let me tell you something. You went crazy one time too. You was disobedient at one time too. You ran away oftentimes too. Tell the young men not to mistreat young women. Not to mistreat somebody's daughter. Realizing that they have sisters. Realizing that they have a mother. Tell them not to mistreat their friend. We oftentimes talk about the woman. We should not make her cry, Brother John. Never make her cry, cousin Kent. For the woman comes from our side. She didn't come from underneath our foot. She didn't come from our backbone, our tailbone to be sit on, underneath our foot to be stepped on, but she came from our side. She's the rib from our side, underneath our arm to be protected, and near our heart to be hugged and loved. She did not come from our head to be superior, but from our side. Be careful not to make her cry. Somebody needs to go home today and talk to their wife and say, honey, I'm sorry. Then we look and we find Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Look at it on your paper if you would. I don't want to be accused of taking this out of context, but I got to looking at that peace scripture and I thought about something here. They were singing the praises of God. How many folk know that music can set a tempo? Music can set a tempo. Music can set some things in action. Music. That's why God gave us music. That we can relax and rest in Him. Relax and rest in the things of God. I'm not talking about all that other stuff that comes through our ear. The Bible says that we need to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Not what the world is saying to the Not what the world is saying to the church. The third thing that I would like for you to understand is this afternoon is to assemble yourself with some believers. Find yourself a pastor who loves you, who loves the Word of God, who teaches the Word of God. You know why? The Bible instructed us to do so. That's one reason. The reason in this life that I'll need you to understand why you need a church home is you're going to grow old one day. And somebody's going to need to speak some words over you one day. It ain't enough for the funeral home director to say something about you. It ain't enough for, Lord have mercy, help me now. There ain't enough for a loved one to say something good about you or not. You need a pastor. You might not believe that, but that's what the Word of God said. Well, I can go home and pastor myself. Okay, you're going to be alone. What would happen if we could, if the grid would just shut down. No more lights, no more electricity, no more nothing. What are we going to do? Are we going to embrace the things of God, or are we just going to quit? I'll tell you something else too. A 5 o'clock martini, after work martini, can't save me. Hello world. The world thinks they can accomplish so much with a drink. A drink can't save you. Another high can't save you. The high going to dissipate. The high will leave you. The high will drop you off. But Jesus said, I'll never leave you. tranquility and peace didn't come from my martini, but it came from my Jesus. Amen. Y'all just like that. I don't even know what a martini is. I purposely said it like that because I know I didn't say it right. But ain't you glad Jesus will never leave you, and true peace comes from him? Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he did what? Trust in the Lord. It's a war in the mind. The Bible says that the devil comes to do what? To steal? What else? Kill and to? He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He comes to steal and to kill and destroy your relationship with God. He does not want you to be Christian. Anything but Christian. Call on anything but the Lord. Speak anything but his name. You remember in the book of Acts that nothing happened until they spoke the name Jesus Christ. You can call him anything you want to. You can be affiliated with any organization, any denomination, any group of people you choose to. But don't mention that name Jesus Christ. What caused us to be Christian is the shedded blood of Jesus. For without the shedded blood of Jesus, there was no remission for our sin. The Holy Communion, that sacrament, we take that sacrament. It is the cup, the blood of Jesus. It is his broken body. And when we partake of his broken body and sup with him, he says, do this often until until you come into the kingdom of. What is he trying to say to us? He's saying there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. The songwriter said, what can wash me whole again, make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. When he looks at us, when he looks at you, he doesn't see you any longer. The accuser of the brethren is the devil. He comes to accuse you. But when God looks at you, he doesn't see you any longer. He only sees the blood of his son that covers you. And so when he covers you with his blood, you have been covered eternally and forever and ever. Here's what the devil does. I'm coming and get him. I'm coming. Oh, can't do it. There's that blood again. I'm going to come and get this one. I'm coming to get him. Oh, can't get him. The blood covers him. Just in your failure, in your lowest place, you heard Pastor Jerry tell you, what shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing, honey. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. But this is for believers. If you're not a believer and you're outside of Jesus, this can't apply to you. We can preach it all day long until you begin to believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all, and by faith. Oh, man. I tried. I've been wrestling with this ever since I heard Pastor John Rice talk about it. By being justified by faith. Your faith is being tried. Every one of our tests is different. But our faith is being tried by fire. Your faith is being tried by fire. The situation that I'm coming up with today is How am I going to act in the fire? What is my position while I'm in the fire? Now, I can do three things. I can fuss, cuss, and fight. Sure. And after the trial by fire is over, I'm going to be looking stupid. Because I lost my integrity while I was in the fire. Pastor Demetrius told us how we, when we lose our integrity in the fire, what to do. When you lose your integrity in the fire, you've been tried and tested, and you've been in the fire, and you don't think that this huddle was made for all of us, listen to what Pastor Demetrius Warren said. When you lose your integrity in the fire, just try again. Isn't that what you said? Does y'all remember that? Get up and try again. Remembering that the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I come to give them what? And to give it to them how much? We got some young men in our community that are trying their best. Well, they're making an attempt. And they are being fought on every hand. We need some elders to come and pull them up and to tell those young men that with Christ they can make it. He speaks here in Isaiah the 26th chapter, thou wilt keep me in perfect peace if my mind is stayed on him. I'm reminded that in Isaiah 9 and 6, the Christmas theme, that the world would have this wonderful counselor and that he would be called the Prince of Peace and the government would be upon his shoulders. I'm reminded in the gospel that for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace, what's his name? Jesus. What is his name?
Jesus.
His name is Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. His government is one of justice and peace. He is timeless. He is God our Father. He is God himself. He gives the right advice. He is exceptional, distinguished, and he don't have no peer. He is our everlasting Father. He'll be there at the end of the day. When all else fails, Jesus Christ won't. Look at somebody and give them a high five if you want to and say, Jesus won't fail. Jesus will not fail. He overcome the world. And somebody quoted a few years back that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I got a feeling this evening that Jesus Christ will make it all right for you. When we look down here in the final scripture, we find, well, in the 26th chapter of Isaiah in the third verse, you can also find it in Philippians 4 and 7. His peace is everlasting. His peace is forever. His hope is forever. Who are you talking about? Jesus Christ. When we come down to the conclusion of the matter, we pick up the epistle in Romans 5 and verse 1. I got to hurry. Do I have to hurry now? Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Those of us that are experiencing, and this is home for me, those of us who are experiencing terminal situations in our personal lives and in the lives of our loved ones, and some who are sitting here who are going through chemotherapy, I want you to know something. We have peace now. We are justified by faith. And we have peace now, right now. Not later, but we got peace now with God. Look at the scripture. Look at it. How did you get your peace? Look at it. Look at it. How did you get your peace? How did you get your peace? You got your peace with God. And you got it through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you should leave here today, everybody ought to know you got peace with God through Jesus Christ. The total package of peace is you hid in Christ. The completeness, he says, in him you are complete. In Jesus, and you prayed over it, you said it today. We have peace in God. Our completeness is through Jesus Christ. Our faith in Jesus Christ. Conclusion of the matter is, while we were yet sinners, these are amazing words. God sent Jesus to die for us, didn't he? Not because we were good enough, but because he loved us so much. Whenever you feel uncertain about God's love for you, remember that he loved you enough before you turned to him. If God loved you when you were a rebel, he can surely strengthen you now that you love him in return. We have peace with the Lord because of our faith in Jesus Christ. We have peace in the life to come because we have peace with the Lord Jesus Christ. Which may differ from peaceful feelings, this peace that we have. It's not the peace that the world give us. Can y'all feel that? He's in the room. Can somebody say, thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Lord, for the peace that comes from you. Anybody going through something? I am. Anybody hurting today? Oh, I have been. But I have to take it to Jesus Christ. You having trouble? Take it to Jesus Christ. This is a safe place. But the safest place that I could think to be is in the hands of the Lord. He'll wrap, do I have a witness? He'll wrap his arms around you. And he'll rock you. Have you ever cried so hard that you couldn't cry no more? And Jesus showed up. Have you ever pulled for somebody so hard? And Jesus showed up. Listen, I was thinking about the three fellas that got thrown in the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, O king, our God is able. But if he don't, we're not bowing to you. Going through some stuff. Some physical stuff. Some stuff with the children you can't put your hand on. Brokenness of heart. But I'm going to embrace Jesus and wait until the storm blows over. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the peace that passes all understanding. Lord, touch right now. Deliver right now. Send salvation right now. We're encouraged. We're in the army of the Lord, but we're soldiers in the army of the Lord, but we need you. Lord, you said as we stand praying to forgive others their trespasses, for if we forgive others their trespasses, our Heavenly Father would forgive us our trespasses. Then you said, but if we do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive us our trespasses. And so, Lord, I'm praying that the spirit of forgiveness would come upon these men, that they might know that I don't need my prayers hindered, and so I'm going to be the bigger person and I'm going to forgive. They may not forgive me, but I'm going to forgive them because I don't want my prayers hindered. Lord, I pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we speak your name over every problem and situation, for your name is higher and bigger than any problem. Thank you that you showed us Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We understand that you created us. We understand that you shed the blood for us. We understand that you sent the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us in all your truth. So we're not talking about Jose or somebody named Jesus, but we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we're asking you now, Lord, to bless these men in the table discussion. Question being asked this evening. When and what time did you receive peace in your life? Thank you, men.